From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, The Public Reward of Private Prayer, the fourth in this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, An Appeal, Deliverance. The text is found in Psalm 50 and verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. This is a promise indeed. Here is an urgent occasion, the day of trouble. It is dark at noon on such a day, and every hour seems blacker than the one which came before it. Then is this promise in season. It is written for the cloudy day. Here is condescending advice. Call upon me. We ought not to need the exhortation. It should be our constant habit all the day and every day. What a mercy to have liberty to call upon God! What wisdom to make good use of it! How foolish to go running about to men! The Lord invites us to lay our case before Him, and surely we will not hesitate to do so. Here is reassuring encouragement. I will deliver thee. Whatever the trouble may be, the Lord makes no exceptions, but promises full, sure, happy deliverance. He will Himself work out our deliverance by His own hand. We believe it. And the Lord honors faith. Here is an ultimate result. Thou shalt glorify me. Ha, that we will do most abundantly. When He has delivered us, we will loudly praise Him. And as He is sure to do it, let us begin to glorify Him at once.
Oh,
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. From the text in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, Dr. Cairns is setting forth Christ's instructions for prayer. God knows the heart, and He has no use for empty show in prayer. But to those who come to Him with humble and contrite hearts, longing to know true fellowship and communion with Him, God enriches their lives with many rewards, including His presence, His peace, and His pardon. It is in the secret place of prayer that God's people really learn the heart of the Lord Jesus, where their lives will truly begin to reflect His grace. Now to continue this message, the public reward for private prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
Those who make religion a cloak of maliciousness indeed have every cause to tremble. Remember that Jesus said to Nathanael, "When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. That shocked Nathanael so much indeed that he immediately recognized Christ as the Messiah and the King of Israel. The Lord Jesus says that to many more than to Nathanael. I saw thee. I saw thee. I saw you when no one else saw you. I saw you when you weren't even thinking of anyone's eyes being upon you. I saw you. And when it comes to this kind of statement from the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no creating of a smokescreen. There's no hiding behind a form of words. There's no form of legality that will cover it up. The Savior simply says, I saw you. Right into your heart. Right into the secret thought. Remember that John 2:25 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. As I say, for the deceiver, for the hypocrite, that's a terrible truth. The book of Proverbs sums it up very simply. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. And he pondereth all his goings. Let's think of that. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord ponders all man's goings. Hypocrites and Christ rejectors have every cause to tremble. But this is not meant to alarm believers who, despite all their felt faults and their confessed inconsistencies, are yet justified by grace and are yet desiring honestly and simply to go on with God in a fellowship with Him. For such people, the Lord Jesus says, this is your comfort. Don't worry about what people think or say. Get alone with God. Take time with God. Get into the secret place with God. And despite all your weaknesses in the secret place, despite all your perceived inability in the secret place, remember you're not there as a performer. You're not there as someone to try and make an impression on God. You're there as a child, as alone with his father, with all your needs, with all your weakness, with all that you really are. Get alone with God and let it be a comfort to you that your father sees in secret. He sees beyond the physical inability to the spiritual desire. You remember the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, and I think this should be a comfort to every Christian, not an excuse for carelessness in prayer, but a comfort when we come to feel so weak. We want to pray. Everybody who knows what it is to seek to pray knows what I'm talking about when I say we come to with the desire to pray, with the determination to pray. And then, either through weariness of body or weakness through illness, or great pain, or some calamity or crisis in the home, we're dragged away or we can't pray to our own satisfaction. Remember Jesus said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now who else but the Lord would know that? We all can know that the flesh is weak. But who else but the Lord can see beyond the weakness and the weariness and the pain and the suffering and the distraction and the trouble to see the inmost soul and rejoice that the Spirit is willing? You know, that could never be said of an unsaved man. Just as Paul could say, I rejoice in the law of God after the inward man, that could never be said of an unsaved man. So it can never be said of an unregenerate hypocrite that the Spirit is truly willing, even in the midst of the weakness of the flesh. The Lord Jesus says, remember when you get to pray, it's a glorious comfort that the Lord sees you in your private life. He sees our presence in the secret place. The Lord knows when you open that closet door, go in, shut it, lock it behind you, and when you get alone with Him. He knows that. The Lord knows the attitude with which we come to the secret place of prayer. The Lord knows the grief we feel over our sin and over our failure. The Lord knows the weakness with which we're surrounded when we come to seek to pray. And yet He sees our inward yearning after Him. The Lord knows the faith that drives us to our knees, and yet the battle that we fight with unbelief. He sees every tear that every Christian sheds. There's a lovely verse in the 56th Psalm which says, "Thou tellest my wanderings." The idea can be, you count my wanderings. You number them. It can also be, you declare or recount my wanderings. Stop. If that's all that verse said, it would be one of the most terrible verses in the Bible. The Lord knows our wanderings. He knows our wandering thoughts. He knows our wandering footsteps. He knows our wanderings. He knows when our love wanders, when our dedication wanders. He knows all our wanderings. He tells them all. But of course, we know them too. And here's what marks a Christian. The ungodly hypocrite is happy to wander as long as the world thinks he's holy. But even if every man thinks you're holy, if you're a real Christian, your heart is heavy, broken by your wandering. And though everybody else praises your holiness, when you are alone and you feel, I have wandered away from the Lord, it is something that grieves. It's like a knife to your heart. And it brings tears to your eyes. That's what it did with David. And he said, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Can you see again how God sees into the secret place? Can you see how God understands the inward motions of the heart? He sees the wanderings. He understands all about them. But He also sees the spiritual exercise of the heart and conscience of a man of God. He sees the grief. And do you notice? He treasures the tears of His people. He treasures those. And indeed, He writes them in His book. He sees every heartache and every trouble. David said, "Thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities." But most of all, He sees our praying. That's what Jesus teaches us in the text. Jeremiah tells us in chapter 31 and 8, the words of Jehovah, "I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me and I was chastised. Turn thou me and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God." God sees the secret life, and especially the secret life of prayer. It leads me to say, secondly, that God rewards our private prayers. It's very obvious from what the Savior says here that the Lord is pleased when His people pray. The Lord is pleased when His people pray. Now, it's very easy to say that. And it's just as easy for you to let it pass over your head and think nothing about it. But remember what we're saying. We're talking about God. We can't enrich Him by our devotion, by our praise, by our praying, by our worship. We can't enrich Him. He is all perfection. Furthermore, when we come to pray with our tongue cleaving to the roof of our mouth, stumbling over our words, and even if we had the greatest oratory known to man, it would still be so poor when you compare it with the praise of the angels of heaven. God has the choirs of glory hymning his praise, sounding forth his majesty, declaring his greatness. And yet, he is pleased when the weakest Christian enters into that closet and starts to pray. I want that to be perhaps the single most urgent motivation for a Christian to pray. It's my experience that Christians are inhibited from praying first by the thought, well, I can't pray. I'm not very good at this. I don't have much talent, much ability to pray. I'm not very deep in my thinking. I'm not very original in my words. I'm not this, I'm not that. And man, the old devil comes and he keeps piling on to you what you're not and what you can't do. And all he's doing is throwing up a deep fog to try to stop you seeing what you are. If you're a child of God, that's what you need to be to pray. What you have God as your Father. Jesus Christ is your mediator. The Holy Spirit within you as your prompter and your great inward intercessor. The promises of God as your guarantee. This is what you have. This is what you are. And God delights in the prayers of his people. Remember that the Scripture says that Jehovah dwells not in temples made with hands. But remember the same Scriptures tell us that he inhabits the praises of Israel. The Lord delights when his people pray. The Psalm 34 and 15 tells us the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. What a picture that is. It's not just that God accidentally hears the cry. Let me change the picture somewhat, but to give you the same truth. When the prodigal son was coming home, he didn't come stumbling up to the front gate and knock the front door and the father open and say, "Oh, I'm so surprised to see you." No, but day by day, the father was looking. His eyes were open. He didn't merely see him when he came. His eyes were open. They were searching for him. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. He's looking for his people to come to pray. The ears of the Lord are open to the righteous. They're waiting for the cry that comes from the heart. God delights and is pleased when his people pray. And he answers prayer in the best way and at the best time. We must be assured. We will see more of this as we study John Knox's great treatise on prayer in the Wednesday night prayer meetings in the weeks to come in the will of God. We'll see how much the great prayer warrior of the Scottish Reformation emphasized this. We must be assured that God hears us and answers us when we pray. But we must also be assured that God demands our submission, that he answers in the best way and at the best time. Moses said in Deuteronomy 4:29, "If thou seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." There's no doubt about that. The Lord will hear. The Lord will answer. Sometimes in our folly we're like little children, and we would try to limit God. Well, this is how I see it. And this is the answer that must be. And this is the time that it must be. I have often remarked in my own lifetime, my own experience, that there are times when I have thought, "Lord, this is the time that you must do this. It must be now. If it's not now, it's going to be too late. Only to find that it was just the blundering stupidity of an idiot. Because the Lord's timing is best. And when His time did come, I stood back and said, "The Lord does all things well."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.